You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with me, your host, Jo Britton. Your mojo is your energy, your enthusiasm, and your motivation so that you've got the ability to get results for your personal and professional life without freaking out and burning out. Tune in for practical advice on how to find your mojo and keep it. Welcome back to Mojo Matters. I've taken a little break from the podcast for a while and I wondered whether it had served its purpose. I started it in lockdown as a way of helping people navigate challenging times, and I've had absolutely amazing guests on the show that I've interviewed, everyday people who've experienced life challenges and who've overcome them, everyday people who've been willing to share their stories so generously and who've been willing to share techniques and advice. And I invite everyday people onto the show because in this world of celebrity that we're living in right now, it's easy to get carried away with celebrity, isn't it? People we admire, maybe even idolize, because we consider them more important, powerful, or famous. People that appear in the media who we think have a more successful or interesting life than ours, or so the media and social media would lead us to believe. Maybe we start comparing our lives to theirs and this so-called perceived success and their influence. In reality, I guess they too are everyday people. But for me, you don't need to find your inspiration from celebrity. You can just look around you to the people you're with every day, to friends, to colleagues, to family members, maybe the solo business owner working the backside off. And that's why, again, coming up in this series of Mojo Matters, I have more everyday people. All of these people have impressed me and inspired me with their stories and their approach to life. But for this episode, to kickstart a new series of Mojo Matters, I'm flying solo because there's one everyday person that I really wish I could interview right now, but I can't, as she's no longer with us. She is one of the people I truly admire. So I'm going to share parts of her story, the parts that I know about, and dedicate this episode to her in her honour and memory. And it's Maria Dereko, my babcia, my late Ukrainian grandmother, because this episode touches on strength, courage, and particularly resilience, and how we can all find this within us when faced with the most challenging of times. And I want you to take inspiration from her story. And it feels really right to do this right now, as I record this on day 5 of Putin's invasion of Ukraine. At the time of recording, it's been reported that 14 Ukrainian children and almost 400 civilians have been killed. 1,700 Ukrainians have been wounded. Almost 400,000 people have fled the country. But defiant and courageous Ukrainians, resilient people, have answered President Zelensky's call to arms in their thousands. Ordinary men and women arming themselves with guns, making homemade bombs, as together with Ukrainian troops, they're fighting for their freedom. So I also dedicate this episode to the brave, courageous, strong and resilient people of Ukraine in their most difficult hours. And I'm going to put some links into the show notes to charities that you can support to help, because at a time like this, I know for a lot of us, it's been really hard to know what to do. You know, we're watching on, but practically, I've been thinking, what can I do to help? And also in times of uncertainty and fear like this, it can be really scary for everybody. And you may be experiencing heightened levels of stress and anxiety as well. And maybe you've got kids and you're concerned about how do you explain all of this to them. So before I do get on to sharing Maria's story and also some tips to help you build resilience, if you're feeling overwhelmed right now, that's totally a totally expected reaction. As human beings, we feel much better when we are in control of our lives. So situations that we have been experiencing, situations like the pandemic and now the war in Ukraine, can trigger feelings of anxiety and fear. And if you have links to Ukraine, you might be feeling helpless. And if you're watching or listening to the news, you might be feeling more alarmed or panicky. Stress affects us physically, and any stress that may have been lurking, say as a result of the last 2 years of the pandemic, may now be being amplified by this new sense of threat. So what can you do? So I'm first of all going to start with four things that you can try if you're feeling really, really worried right now. So the first thing is, you may want to limit your exposure to social media and the news. And if you are keeping yourself up to date, choose reputable sources of information. Avoid hashtags like World War III or posts that have got really distressing photos on them. So read text-based information to keep yourself up to date if that's what you're doing. The second thing is to find ways to calm your worry circuits, because stress clouds our ability to think clearly. So you can do this in a really simple way by taking a few deep rhythmic breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth as if you're blowing through a straw, lengthening the breath on the exhale to prod the parasympathetic division of the nervous system. And that influences the parasympathetic part of the nervous system, influences our body's ability to relax and calm down. And as you breathe, you might want to say in your head or out loud, I breathe in calmness and I breathe out worry. Number three, control the things you can. There are so many things that are beyond our control. Worrying about them can just lead to catastrophizing and fueling even more anxiety and stress. But there are plenty of things that you can choose to control instead. So choose to get something accomplished that's within your control. And number four, try some healthy escapism. So getting outside into nature, doing something creative to take your mind off the real world. And I mentioned kids before and how you talk to your kids about what's happening in the world right now. So I'm not an expert in this area and giving advice on this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to link to some great resources in the show notes to help you. So now on to the next part of the show. I said this show was about courage, strength and resilience, and I wanted to share some of my batch's story because she truly epitomises this for me. Maria Dereko, my late Ukrainian grandmother, was fiercely loyal, courageous, hardworking, ever so strong and resilient. I would say she was a warrior, and she was one of life's great survivors. She was also outgoing in personality. And if you knew her, especially in her younger days, she had this abundance of black frizzy hair. So with that outgoing personality and her hair, you just honestly, you couldn't fail to notice when she was around. And if you met her, you would remember her. But she was born Maria Sadlovska in Lviv, where she was brought up on a small holding at the second youngest of seven children. And as a small child, under Stalin, she survived the Holodomor. And if you're not familiar with this, it's also known as the Terror Famine or the Great Famine, a famine in Soviet Ukraine from 1932 to 1933 that killed millions of Ukrainians. It was a large part of the wider Soviet famine. And its literal translation is death by hunger, or killing by hunger, or killing by starvation. And unlike other famines in history, caused maybe by blight or drought. This was caused when a dictator wanted to both replace Ukraine's small farms, so the small farm, the small holding my bachelor lived on, with state-run collectives, and punish independence-minded Ukrainians who posed a threat to his totalitarian authority. Millions of people starved to death. And my bachelor, I remember she used to tell me stories about how she was starving when she was young, and how as they had chickens on their small holding, her mum would take a few eggs and try and exchange them for maybe grain to make bread or for other things that they didn't have. But they survived it. She was one of the fortunate ones who survived it. But it didn't stop there. When she was 14 during the Second World War, she was taken by the Nazis to Germany to undertake forced labour on a farm. She actually never returned home to see her family again. They thought she'd died during the war. She thought they'd died during the war. But while she was in Germany, she was subjected to real hard work and hard toil. I remember she used to tell me stories of the farmer, the male farmer. He really was not nice at all, but she reckoned she survived most of it. I remember she used to tell me these stories with a bit of a laugh and a joke, but it was really, really, really serious. Because he was impressed by her ability to take schnapps. Now, this wasn't by choice. He'd kind of force her to drink this as a piece of entertainment for the Gestapo. She also came close to death, having contracted typhoid, but against the odds, she survived. And at the end of the war, she was displaced in Italy in an Allied forces camp where she met her husband, Maciej. Now, Maciej was a Belarusian soldier who'd been deported to a Siberian labor camp before he served in the Polish army at the Battle of Monte Cassino. Now, at the time of recording this episode of Mojo Matters, Belarus, whilst it's not part of Russia, has in recent years become very intertwined politically and economically, and it's got a very long and complicated history. It was occupied by the Russian Empire. At the end of the 18th century, it declared a short-lived national republic in 1918, but then it was forcibly absorbed by the Bolsheviks into what became the Soviet Union. It was occupied by Nazi Germany. It was retaken by Stalin's Russia in 1944, and it remained under Soviet control until it declared sovereignty and independence in 1990 and 1991. Now, I know from the stories that I heard that my grandfather Maciej and his fellow Belarusian friends used to sing for the independence and freedom of their country, and I know there are still many Belarusians to this day that do the same. Now, Maria and Maciej eventually were refugees, and they settled in Manchester in the UK, and here they raised their two children. So my mum and my uncle, and life really was hard, and it was a struggle. They worked lots of jobs, including long days of factory work, and that helped them keep a roof over their heads in a property that they shared with other refugee families. Well, their hard work paid off when they saved enough money to buy their own home. But tragically, not long after that, at the age of just 49, Maciej died. He had a heart attack in the garden, and he left behind Maria, who was only in her 30s at the time, with her two children to bring up alone. And then there were no insurances. She didn't have any family around her. There wasn't a benefit system to support her. So Maria had no option but to draw on resilience and values of hard work. She worked day and night. She paid the mortgage, and she provided for her children. And she eventually owned that home. But despite all this trauma, hardship and tragedy in her life, I remember my bachelor as always being full of life and vigour. She was spirited. She danced until dawn at the Polish club on a Saturday night. You could hear her booming laughter from the next street. She had this haze of hair lacquer and perfume that lingered wherever she went. She was abundantly generous. Her house was always full of friends who came to share their own troubles with her over a table packed with food and a vodka or two. And while she didn't benefit from an education, and she actually used to say to us, "Oh, I'm really thick," and she really wasn't thick at all. She was smart, she was streetwise, and she was resourceful. And she was firstly proud of her family and extremely loyal to the country that gave her a home. And she lived way into her 80s. Her experiences and actions and her life story have really shaped many of my own values, and they've guided my decisions and influenced my actions too. And she's taught me a lot about the value of hard work and the benefits of determination and courage and strength and resilience. And her generosity showed me that how, when I give more, I have more. So whether that's love or gratitude or time or kindness or grace. And as human beings, we have a remarkable capacity to be courageous, strong, and resilient, because life doesn't come with a map, does it? It doesn't come with a manual of instructions. And every one of us is going to experience and has experienced twists and turns, whether that's just from everyday challenges, but to bigger, more traumatic events that have a more lasting impact. Maybe that's the death of a loved one or a life-altering accident or a serious illness, or today as we're recording, there's war in the world. Now, each change obviously affects people really differently, and it brings a unique flood of thoughts and strong emotions and uncertainty. Yet as human beings, my bachelor has proved this, we generally adapt well over time to these life-changing situations and these stressful situations. And in part, that's thanks to resilience. So I want to talk more about resilience, what it is, and how do you build personal resilience? Now, psychologists define resilience as the process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or significant sources of stress. Now, those significant sources might be family and relationship problems. It could be serious health problems or workplace and financial stressors. Now, that's not to say that these adverse events are not painful and difficult. And resilience does not mean that you won't experience significant emotional distress, but becoming more resilient can help you get through difficult circumstances. But it can also empower you to grow and even improve your life along the way. So how do you build personal resilience? It isn't easy. It takes time, and it's like building any kind of muscle. You have to build it with intention and practice, and it involves behaviors, thoughts, and actions. But these are things that you can learn and develop if you choose to. So I was thinking about how best could I categorize things that will help you build personal resilience. And I've come to four things that maybe you can focus on. And the first one is connection, building healthy connections and relationships with people and asking for help when you need it. We've seen this with the Ukrainian president right now. He's asking the world for help, right? The pain of traumatic events can lead some people to really isolate themselves. Now, when I also think back to my BAPTCHA and her story, no matter what, she made sure she had friends and community around her. They met, they danced, they drank together, they talked, they listened to one another, undoubtedly sharing their burdens and offering a sympathetic and compassionate ear to one another. So community and relationships and connections is really huge for me too. And it's why I've actually built two of my own, my Mojo membership community that is full of incredible women who want to believe in themselves and achieve more, who want support and motivation, who want to feel challenged, but also want to feel supported. And then there's my JFDI business building community. So this is a bunch of entrepreneurs and startups who are really focused on wanting to build their business, but it can be so hard. And together we're doing that as well, because I found it so helpful to surround myself with people who get each other, who support one another. Connection is hugely important to helping you build some resilience. The second thing is well-being. Now, there might be another word for this, self-care. That's often a buzzword that's used at the moment, isn't it? But it's so important. And it's something I bang on about with my clients who can run themselves into the ground, running the businesses or in their jobs and careers, and then juggling that with home life and feeling really, really stressed. Because why is it important to look after yourself? Because stress is just as much a physical as emotional response. The brain and body, in my view, can't be separated. They're both sides of the same coin. When emotionally your thoughts are anxious, then the body responds to that. So you might feel this like a bad tummy or a headache or a shortness of breath, or maybe you get heart palpitations or sweaty palms. This is your body giving you a signal, and it's putting you into a high alert state. But the trouble is, we're not supposed to stay in these heightened states of stress for long periods of time. They're supposed to be temporary. Otherwise, we set ourselves up for long-term, much more serious health conditions. But equally, when we feel these sensations in the body, this shortness of breath, maybe these headaches, maybe these heart palpitations, when we feel that in the body, that can also affect our thoughts and we can worry. So it's almost like this self-fulfilling cycle. So what can you do? It is so important to nourish our minds and bodies with the right things, starting with food. Now, I've got more episodes on Mojo Matters coming up on this. I'm not going to talk to you about what are the right foods, but I do have some guests coming up later in the series where I'm going to talk about that. But we also need good rest, sleep, hydration, and regular exercise to strengthen our bodies, adapt, and reduce stress and the emotional tolls of day-to-day life. The third thing is healthy thinking. Now, there are ways we can prime our brain, rewire and retrain it, so that we are able to think in more helpful, healthy and productive patterns. And my neurosculpting and coaching practice helps many people to do this. So that in itself is a whole episode about how you can do this. So I'm not going to talk about the details of it, but I'll add a link into the show notes if you'd like to ask me more about it and find out more. And I will do an upcoming episode on it. And number four, finding purpose and meaning. Now, whenever I'm struggling, I go back to this. I do this in three ways. The first thing I do is start by setting goals that are realistic and that have meaning and purpose to me, and that gives me something to work towards. Now, lots of people don't really know how to set goals a lot of the time, or they struggle and then they beat themselves up when they're not achieving them. So if you struggle to set goals or even know what goals to set, then I have a lot of free resources on this. So drop me a line, go to the show notes, contact me if you want a bit more help and information on how you can set some realistic goals. The other thing that I do is find ways to help other people. Now, I do this now through dedicating my work as a neurosculpting performance coach. That's what I do for my work. But I also have a personal goal every day just to help one person if I can, without any expectation of anything in return, because that gives me a sense of purpose. And it gives me a sense that my life has meaning. And I go to bed at night feeling accomplished. And the third thing I do to find purpose and meaning is I choose to have a sense of optimism. Now, I have to check myself on this a lot, because it is not easy to be optimistic. You know, we're wired as human beings with negativity bias. It keeps us safe and alive. So we have to choose to learn how to be more positive, how to think more positively, and how to be optimistic. But studies have shown, wait for this, that those that are able to remain optimistic increase their lifespan by nearly 8 years. That is an incredible statistic, isn't it? And scientists have found that optimism reduces stress, and it also promotes the production of the neurotransmitter dopamine. And dopamine is that reward chemical which allows you to feel pleasure, satisfaction, and motivation. And when I think to the situation that is going on in the world right now, and when I think back to my bachelor and to her story, there was always a sense of optimism. So thank you for listening to this episode of Mojo Matters. Forgive my pronunciation, but I'm going to end this episode by saying Slava Ukraini. You've been listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with Jo Britton. Tune in again for more practical advice on how to find your mojo and how to keep it.